Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We have a house out by the water in Staten Island, and it was in a mandatory evacuation zone.
My car is underwater at Pinebrook, but I have only liability insurance.
But the power has been out since the storm, and the battery backups on the pump have run out.
Well, we actually had 8 inches of rain in a storm a week before.
The basement flooded, and they lost washers and dryers.
And we don't agree with their assessment, and neither does the roofer.
Well, those were some listeners who called in assessing the damage from hurricane-turned-tropical storm Irene, which, of course, hit the tri-state area nearly 3 weeks ago. Still, areas in the Catskills, Connecticut, on Long Island, in New Jersey, suffering in upstate New York's southern tier. The Susquehanna River has continued to flood. Evacuations again last week. Insured losses in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut are thought to be the bulk of the roughly $4 billion national total, more here in the Northeast than in any other region after that storm. And we're going to follow up, which is sometimes a weakness of the media. You know, Steve Call of The New Yorker, a frequent guest on this show, has said disaster coverage generally follows a 12-day editorial cycle. That is 12 days, and then the media drop it as boring to anybody who wasn't directly affected. But for those who are facing the loss and damage brought about by the floods and heavy rain from Irene and also from Lee, 12 days is really just the beginning. So we're going to dig around a little bit by opening up the phones, and we have a great guest who used to head the National Flood Insurance Program. Call in and talk about your property damage, again, whether it was to your car, your business, or your home. And specifically, we want to hear how it's going with your insurance company or with FEMA. Now, many of you may be used to doing battle with your insurance company over whatever, homeowners insurance benefits, health insurance benefits. Maybe you're not so used to dealing with FEMA, but FEMA is actually providing the benefits for many folks because that's who covers flood insurance in an official state of emergency or natural disaster, which has been declared by the federal government here. So our lines are open, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. If you were lacking some kind of insurance coverage before and are trying to get help from FEMA, how's that going? If you're discovering that your insurance company is giving you a lot up front and making you feel really good, but now that you're putting in your big claim for the big damage numbers, they're suddenly not answering their phones as readily. That's a common pattern, we're told. Give us a call. Tell us your experience. Trying to get your benefits now. Get the help to even put your house, your car, your life back together in the short term, either with your private insurance company or with FEMA. 212-433-WNYC. 433-9692. Or if you have questions, we can offer help because we have a great guest here, J. Robert Hunter. He's the director of insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, a consumer advocacy group. He's been things in government in the past, including the director of the National Flood Insurance Program for the federal government in the 1970s. He's worked for Presidents Ford and Carter as a federal insurance administrator. He's been the Texas, state of Texas, insurance commissioner. So this guy has the right experience to answer your questions and to help you with your problems, we hope. Bob Hunter, welcome to WNYC. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome. Nice to be here, Brian.
By the way, that estimate that the $4.5 billion in damage from these recent storms nationally, that the Northeast suffered the worst damage, that must be really rare. When else has the Northeast suffered the worst damage from a hurricane?
Well, there have been a few hurricanes. The famous Long Island Express, I think they called it, back in the 30s was very serious. And I think that was a Category 3 or 4. So that was something. There was a hurricane that ran through Pennsylvania and did a lot of flood damage back in the 70s. So it happens, but it is rare.
What are you hearing from people affected by Irene? and from insurance companies or FEMA as far as the kinds of claims most commonly being filed and how big they are?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of the damage is flooding, and in the Northeast, flood policies are much rarer than, say, in the Gulf Coast. There are 3.4 million flood policies sold in along the Gulf Coast. And from North Carolina to Rhode Island, I just added up the policies, it's less than 700,000. So a lot of people are going to have floods, but no coverage. In New Orleans, 50% of the people plus, depending on the area, more than 50% had flood insurance. In Jersey and places like that, it's going to be between 10 and 20%. So a lot of people are going to be are going to have to rely on disaster relief and other ways that they're not going to have insurance coverage. The wind damage is probably going to pay out more than flood because of that. Our initial estimates that we ran were somewhere under $2 billion for flood and somewhere around $3 to $4 billion for wind for the whole storm, including North Carolina and up into Vermont. Now the estimates seem to be even a little lower than that, the latest estimate. So a lot of people are not going to get anything.
Let's take our first caller, Irving in Middletown. That's Middletown, New York. I know there's a Middletown, Connecticut. There's a Middletown, New Jersey. You're in Middletown, New York, right?
That's correct.
And?
Yes. Well, I called my insurance company. We had flood in Irene, about a foot. And then we had flood with the Tropical Storm Lee, which was two feet. And the insurance company came and they looked around. They've come twice, one for Irene and one for Lee. They made a list of a bunch of stuff with no promises. I called FEMA in an afternoon last week. The next morning, they had an agent at the house. He took a couple of hours, went through the entire house, went through all the stuff, made a list of things. 2 days later, I go to my bank, and they had deposited monies in my account for repairs.
Yeah.
This is FEMA.
Yeah.
And I'm still waiting to hear from the insurance company.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's kind of typical. FEMA is a taxpayer-funded program, of course, the National Flood Insurance Program. And you should give the 800 number there for that, where people can complain directly to the government when it's a flood claim. That's 800-427-4219. People can call and get that kind of action, because the federal government is going to put some pressure on the insurers who sell the flood, who handle the flood claims for them, to settle claims if they start to get a lot of complaints. So that's good to hear. I had heard that too. And you were right, Brian, when you said that early in the cycle, where the media is out there, a lot of TV cameras and all, insurance companies are running around and handing out checks for the small things, like, you know, going to the hotel for the night and things like that.
Uh-huh.
It is, the trouble tends to be later when you have the damage, whether they'll decide, well, it's not wind, it's water, you know, we're not going to pay you. Well, we got to look at it again. We'll send out a guy again, and you may get run around, and those things will emerge over time. We're still a little early for final decisions on whether to pay and how much for a lot of the insurers. But you are right that the early days tend to be better.
Lori in Mamaroneck, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show. I had the same experience as the guy from Middletown. It was unbelievable. Called FEMA the next day. The money was in our account. And the amount we got was incredibly fair, truly covered the damage.
Yeah. Well, I used to run the program. We felt like we were going to make the claims work for the people, and I'm glad to hear that, because there have been some complaints about FEMA's handling of claims lately, and even Congress had to basically scold them after some claims, particularly in Pennsylvania. There was the Pennsylvania delegation to Congress rose up a few years ago, and I think FEMA is trying now to say, look, we take your money, and we're going to pay when we have a claim. So that's very good. Now, whether the program will ever be able to break even is another question.
Lori, thank you very much. So that's two testimonials to FEMA, even as compared with the private insurers. Margo from Greenpoint, who was in one of the evacuation zones in that part of New York City, writes on our website, meeting with a FEMA adjuster tomorrow about my three ruined and replaced water heaters in my flooded Greenpoint basement. The guy on the phone wanted to know what the serial numbers were for the discarded water heaters. I, of course, don't have those. I will be covered for what I spent replaced. Will I be covered, she asks, for what I spent replacing the water heaters?
Probably. You ought to keep the bills, though, obviously. They may ask information on those old water heaters to make sure that they aren't giving you something twice as good or something. You need to you shouldn't be embedded through the damage. In other words, they shouldn't give you a water heater that does, a zillion gigawatts versus you used to have 100,
Right. And if you can't prove, what if you can't prove that you had a really high-end water heater that got destroyed? Will FEMA give you the money to replace it at that level?
Sure. Yeah, they'll give you up to the limits of the policy. They should give you that, yes.
Mike in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Brian. Brian, I have a question as to when FEMA becomes involved in the payment of claims or the handling of claims, does that mean the insurance companies are off the hook? In other words, does FEMA make payment with government money, or are they making payment with a combination of or just insurance company money?
Yeah. FEMA only gets involved on flood claims, which are the flood insurance policy is a federally backed policy. There are premiums paid for it, so the premiums are used to pay claims up until they run out. And over the last few years, there's been about an $18 billion shortfall. Katrina particularly clobbered the flood program. And so there is taxpayer money, too. So when you call FEMA and complain, they are acting as the government to make sure that the companies that they hire to settle these claims do it fairly. When it's a little different, obviously, with a private sector insurer where the money comes from the bottom line of the insurer and may have different incentives to be fair or not fair.
Mike, thank you. My guest, Bob Hunter, the former director of the National Flood Insurance Program in the United States, and now the Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, a consumer watchdog group, as we take your calls with your experiences trying to get insurance after the recent hurricane or tropical storm in our area, 212-433-WNYC. Whether your experience was with a private insurance company or with FEMA, how's it going? What conflicts are you having with them? We've heard some nice testimonials for FEMA so far. How about anybody having problems? Anybody having problems with your private insurance company? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And Peter on Pine Island, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Most people don't know that the flood and the subsequent tropical storm Lee couldn't have happened at a worse time for farmers in the region, because not only are are they getting very little from the FEMA program, there's nothing in either federal or state programs that covers crop insurance. So all of their crops are literally underwater. And that means that there's going to be a very small selection of vegetables and herbs for green markets in the city and other top restaurants. So it couldn't have happened at a worse time.
Do you know about that, Bob Hunter?
Well, there is a national crop insurance program that covers against damage.
Is it through the Agriculture Department?
Through the Agriculture Department.
Yeah, but it pays pennies on the dollar. It's a ridiculous program. It's very expensive, and it doesn't pay out very much.
I've seen the complaints on that, and they paid out. They do pay out claims, but I don't really know how that works. I was never in the Agriculture Department.
And Peter, thank you. Insurance companies are reporting a rush to get insurance after Irene. Yeah. What should people know before signing on the dotted line?
Well, nothing sells insurance like a big claim.
Fear.
First of all, you should shop carefully for insurance, because you want to make sure you get the policies you need. Remember, your homeowner, if you get, most people have homeowners policies because your bank requires it typically, most people have it. You have to shop around. There's fairly sizable differences in prices and quality of service. Every state has information on prices and complaints. on their website. So you ought to go to your state insurance department website and get that information when you're shopping. And you should make sure that you, since the homeowner's policy does not cover flood, if you're in a flood zone, and you can find out if you're in a flood zone from maps. There are maps in every town that show the floodplains. You should look at those maps. And by the way, those maps tend to be a little bit antiquated, so they tend to be understated. So if you're near the floodplain, in my view, you should consider buying flood insurance.
Andrew in Bergen County are on WNYC. Hi, Andrew.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for bringing us this guest.
Sure.
I guess a little bit contrary to a couple of the previous callers, I have been trying to get through to FEMA, or I have been speaking with FEMA, but I haven't had a visit from the adjuster yet. I'm hoping to have one next week. I guess my question for the guests in terms of preparing for that visit is, obviously we had some water in our home. We cleaned it up, but there's still, damages to be repaired. And I guess in terms of, sort of documentation of what we did to clean up the place after the flood, how do we prepare to have the adjuster come and take a look and make sure that that we get the what we need to make the repairs?
Sure. First of all, you should keep receipts of things you had to buy, cleaning materials or whatever you did, or if you had somebody come in to dry the rugs or something like that. Keep all your receipts. Keep a record. Always keep good records. When you're dealing with a claim, whether it's the federal government or private sector, always keep good records, because if something goes wrong and you get unhappy, those records will help you with as you go up the food chain of complaints. When you complain higher in the company or to FEMA, if you're knowing exactly what happened, if you were treated rudely, if people didn't show up when they were supposed to, if they were nice to you, whatever. And then if you have to ultimately, particularly with the private sector, go to an attorney. Those records are good. And before you go to an attorney, if you complain to the state insurance department and ask for their help, having good records are very important, because you have to act dispassionately. If you just say these guys are a bunch of bad guys, that won't get you very far. But if you can detail exactly why you think they're bad guys, you're in a much better shape.
Andrew, good luck. And Beth in Bronxville, you're on WNYC. You know, there's a pattern here, Bob. We're getting a ton of calls from Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
In case people didn't realize how hard Westchester County got hit, people are just showing up from all over Westchester. So, Beth, you're on WNYC, along with a lot of your neighbors. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I have a question for your guest today about how much FEMA covers in the situation that we're in here in Bronxville, which is our school is very low-lying. And in 2006, there was a nor'easter which caused over 5 feet of water on the first floor of our school. And our school was shut down for 2 weeks. And we actually had to take an assessment in our taxes because the FEMA money did not cover the flood remediation. And we are here again. We started school a day late. And our kindergarten, because the rooms are on the first floor of the building, has not even started yet. It's not planning on starting until Monday. And are we looking at having to take another assessment in our taxes?
Unfortunately, you probably, unless they have insurance, which I'm not sure.
Well, I'm sure they do. I'm curious as to
you
whether.
You have to ask whether they do or not. Some municipalities don't decide to self-insure, and so that's a question. But there will be disaster relief for municipalities, of course, but a lot of those require the municipality to do certain percentages of the work, and there may be deductibles and even some other requirements that would cost money. The parents need to ask the administration exactly what kind of protection they have against.
Beth, that was a great question to raise, because we don't think about damage to public buildings. And in the case of schools, everybody's struggling with their property taxes, particularly school taxes, already. And if there are major damages that are not covered by insurance, maybe this is going to result in more assessments along the way. that's what Beth is raising, and I guess you're saying you have to look at the particulars in,
yeah,
in your district.
Yeah, I think there will be more assessments, maybe not in that case, but in cases like that.
And so last question, are we going to see premiums go up for individuals who have insurance as a result of damage claims from Irene, like they might go up for your car insurance after you have an accident? Or are we even going to see premiums go up in general for everybody because the insurance industry is having to pay out so much from this storm?
Well, first of all, they're not paying out very much. It's only a few billion dollars. For them, that's really minor. They are in the safest shape. The property casualty insurance industry in America are in the safest shape they've ever been in terms of the leverage ratios and all that. They have huge amounts of money. They've taken care. They've mastered hurricanes. When Hurricane Andrew hit, their loss ratio nationally jumped from around 60 to 120, almost doubled. When Katrina hit, the loss ratio went up only a few percent because they've got added deductibles, they put caps on coverage, they've done all that. They are, it makes me nervous because they are hyping Hurricane Irene as if it's, oh, we've got to really change things and raise rates. And I don't agree with that because I've looked at the models. The hurricane that hit is already in the pricing through the modeling. I've seen the models. The models do have this kind of an event already built in. So there should be very minor, if any, price changes, but they're hyping Hurricane Irene almost like the Weather Channel.
That is really great context, and you've provided a lot of great information for the individuals who called in. Bob Hunter, former director of the U.S. National Flood Insurance Program, now Director of Insurance for the Consumer Federation of America, a consumer watchdog group. So, again, thank you so much. Really informative and helpful.
Thank you.
And listeners, you can continue to talk to each other and share stories and advice on our webpage for this at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We continue in a minute with more from the brand new WNYC New York Times collaboration called School Books Today. The difference that parents' money makes. Stay tuned.